You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. A major proposal is seeking to build a city in Solano County from scratch. The plan comes from the company California Forever and is backed by a slate of billionaires. It promises thousands of new jobs, a sustainable, walkable community, and housing for hundreds of thousands of people. Earlier this month, the campaign officially qualified to get on the ballot in November, but it's also seen its share of criticism and skepticism. On Tuesday, Solano County supervisors voted to delay adding the proposal to the ballot so they can further study its impact on the area. Aditi Bundalamudi is a housing reporter for KQED who has been following California Forever. She's also a former CAP Radio reporter. She joins us now to walk us through the details and controversies surrounding California Forever's plan. It's great to have you join us, Aditi.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with some background about this project. Where did this idea come from for a whole new city from scratch?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think so. The CEO of California Forever, his name is Jan Tremec. He basically talks about coming to Solano and basically falling in love with the county. He really loved the mountainside and the people there and Lake Berryessa. And he figured, why not build a city like Berlin or Paris here in California? Why he asks, why can't we have that? And so the vision of California Forever kind of sprouted from that. And what they're proposing to build is sort of like a Berlin or Paris. It's a dense, walkable community with, housing, what some people call middle-income housing. So think, duplexes, triplexes, maybe some single-family homes, but that are attached and have, smaller lots, not huge, suburban plots of land. He talks about having a lot of jobs and this new town basically solving some of California's biggest issues, like the housing crisis, the jobs to housing imbalance, people commuting, hours to get to work and things like that. But of course, there are a lot of promises that are packed into this plan.
You know, Aditi, it's not every day that you see a proposal to build an entirely new city. And it does make you wonder about the company behind it, California Forever. Can you talk a little bit about them? Who exactly are they? Who's backing this project?
So Jan Tremec is sort of the head of the company and really the face of the company. He's the founder and the CEO. And he is a former Goldman Sachs trader, kind of known as like a wunderkind of Goldman Sachs. And he left that behind in his 20s, I believe, to then start a series of, startups, education startups, some of them. But then there's also, when you look at the people who are investing in this company, it's a lot of really notable billionaires. We're talking like Marc Andreessen of investment firm Andreessen Horowitz, Reid Hoffman, Laureen Powell Jobs, Patrick and John Collison. It's a lot of like very big name billionaires that are like making a lot of splash in Silicon Valley.
How long has the company been working on this plan? I mean, did it just come up like overnight or has it been years in the making?
So it's interesting because it depends on who you ask. But basically what we know is that California Forever and its subsidiary company, Flannery Associates, started purchasing land out in East Solano, kind of around the Montezuma Hills in 2017. But they didn't make their identity known for a while. And that caused a lot of stir. There were people who were concerned as to, what is this company purchasing a bunch of land, thousands of acres near Travis Air Force Base. There were some, county officials and even like, U.S. like federal officials who were concerned that it was like a foreign entity, potentially a security threat. But then in 2023, Connor Doherty of the New York Times published an article really exposing the identities of California Forever and the people behind it. And that's when California Forever was sort of forced to come forward with their plan and their vision. They say, you know, we wanted to just keep things simple, and that's why we didn't come forward. And, you know, for the people who support the plan, they say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But for the people who don't, they feel like it was really shady and kind of weird that the identity was kept secret.
Well, you mentioned Travis Air Force Base, and I think, you know, most people that think about that part of Solano County would think about the Air Force Base. Has the military taken a position on this plan? What do people think about, you know, building a city, you know, at least close to an Air Force Base?
Yeah, totally. And that is a huge point that has come up time and time again with this project. So in the beginning, when California Forever sort of announced their intentions to build a city, Travis Air Force Base said, look, that's not conducive to the operations that we do on the base. There are, you know, midnight sorties. There are training modules that they run, and they need a lot of land to do that. And a city that has light pollution and people living there, it's just not conducive for that. And California Forever had actually introduced ballot language in the beginning of the year. And Travis Air Force Base said, we don't, you know, this doesn't work for us. California Forever went back, and I think a couple times they revised the ballot language until eventually Travis Air Force Base said, okay, our concerns were heard. We feel like this should be fine. They haven't endorsed the plan. They're not saying one way or another, and I doubt that they will endorse the plan or oppose it. But they have said that, you know, now California Forever included this like Travis Air Force Base security zone, almost like a buffer between the new city and the Air Force Base. And Travis has said that it shouldn't interfere with their operations.
You know, Oddity, my understanding is that at full build out, the company is looking at hundreds of thousands of residents for this potential new city. And for anyone who has read about, you know, development proposals, they know that these things can take years and years, if not decades, to move forward.
Oh, yeah.
But this company is using a ballot measure. It seems to me that the process maybe is moving quite a bit faster with that ballot measure. I'm wondering if you can talk about how they're going about it. You know, typically cities and counties, local government have the final say on new development, but this might be different.
Yeah, Solano County is kind of, it's very interesting in that way. So back in the 1980s, the county passed what's called the Orderly Growth Initiative, which is basically a statute which, you know, wants to, it aims to protect agricultural land and basically keep cities as cities. So it doesn't allow development in what is considered agricultural land or what is zoned as agricultural land. And so if a developer comes forward and says, actually, we want to build this, you know, neighborhood or subdivision on what is agricultural land, usually they will have to go through this ballot initiative process where the voters will decide, you know, do we want this? Do we want a development to kind of fall outside of the Orderly Growth Initiative? And the thing is that this has come, in front of the voters a few times before, or at least that's what some people I've talked to have said. And voters have turned it down, every time that it's come up. Or at least people have opposed it. So it's going to be interesting to see how people view it. And so what it means is that California Forever, they are proposing this plan. You're right in that it's still going to take a really long time. It's, you know, they're proposing a lot of infrastructure. They want to widen some highways. They want to build a completely new city, which is a lot of what they call horizontal work to build that out. So it'll probably be like a decade or so before we'll even be able to see anything being built there or, you know, people being able to move in. But what it does mean is that the zoning will be sort of finished, and what they can then go forward with is an environmental impact report, which the company says, you know, if it is approved in November, then that environmental impact report will likely come out next year. And that'll look at things like, you know, how the water is going to come through, more information about agricultural land being affected, things like that.
Oddity, based on your reporting, are there any historical examples of similar size projects being proposed either in California or Solano County?
There are. And the thing about, you know, these kind of developments, they call them like master planned communities. They're not a new thing. You know, these kind of communities, they have been thought out and built for, you know, decades. The thing is that usually they result in sprawl. You know, there are examples like Mountain House or even Irvine in Southern California. Those are all master plan communities that, you know, somebody had a vision to create this a city from scratch. I think Mountain House was originally, you know, supposed to be like a dense walkable community, similar to what California Forever is promising. But because it is expensive to do this, market conditions fluctuate, you know, through the years that it will take to build the infrastructure. What happens is that, you know, the way that our land use planning has sort of become is to build suburbs and to build car-centric cities. And so that is actually a huge point that people, you know, say against this plan, is that they're worried that it'll just fizzle out into a collection of sleepy suburbs, like every other proposal that has been put forth with these ideas has just turned out into.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with KQED housing reporter Aditi Bandalamudi about the proposed city being championed by the company California Forever in Solano County. Okay, so outside of the company and its financial backers, who else is supporting the new proposed town and why?
Yeah, it's a question that I was trying to sort of answer myself, just trying to get the, you know, a pulse on how people are feeling about it. And it's interesting, you know, this week, the Board of Supervisors met and there was a big meeting, and it was a packed meeting. So many people spoke up, and it was pretty evenly split. There were a lot of people who spoke in favor of the plan and a lot of people who spoke against it. And honestly, they're very diverse on both sides. You know, typically the people who oppose this plan, I've heard from a lot of farmers, the Solano Farm Bureau, the Solano Land Trust. They're both against, both organizations have come out against the plan. There's also Solano Together, which is really the main group against California Forever. They even formed a PAC to, like, you know, politically oppose the group and campaign against them. And they make up, you know, farmers, longtime residents, environmentalists, people who are worried about, you know, the housing that will be built won't actually be affordable and might gentrify out the people who currently live there. But then, you know, the people on the other side, they are working families. People who, you know, maybe their loved ones moved out of California because they couldn't afford it. I spoke to a lot of people about, you know, if they oppose it, why do they oppose it? And if they support it, why do they support it? And it's interesting because a lot of the points are sort of the same, and it just sort of depends on how you feel about the plan. For example, you know, I spoke to one person who was like, I don't think the homes that they're going to build are going to be affordable. And another person said, yeah, but they're offering down payment assistance programs and we don't know until we see. So it's very interesting to hear the arguments before, you know, for and against it.
And you gathered some of those perspectives. We have some of that to play. This is supporters. We have comments from hotel owner Sunny Cutry and iron worker Robert McGarry.
I have hotels in Vallejo and Fairfield as well. So, and I think the tax revenue that we're going to be getting, generating, and all the demand from the construction from all this project will really help, like, our restaurants, shopping areas, these small businesses, as well as our hotels that people that want to stay here. So it'll give a good boost for the economy, like an oil boom type of thing.
I have a son who's an iron worker, and he's had to move out of California because he can't afford to buy here, even though he makes premium wage. And he's been unable to buy, and because of the housing shortage, because of the housing costs.
You know, honestly, when I was reading your article online, and now just listening to that last voice there, I was struck. It seems that people who are supporting the proposal, it says something about maybe affordability in California, about concerns over the lack of housing. Was that a theme when you spoke to some of the supporters?
That it totally was. I mean, it's a theme amongst the people who support it and oppose it. You know, I kept hearing time and time again from people who are saying that growth in Solano has sort of come to a standstill, and this project promises a huge boom in that production. There were some people who were like, you know, even if this results in a couple houses being built, that's better than nothing. But then people on the opposing side kind of feel like, we need to be investing in affordable housing, you know, housing that people who are really in need can actually afford and move into. And, you know, it just depends on how you look at it, from which side of the coin you're looking on.
Well, tell us more about the folks who were opposing it. We did hear from supporters, but you mentioned there are groups that are staunchly against this.
There are. I mean, and we've talked a lot about housing. I am a housing reporter, so that's sort of what I looked into. But lately, I've also been talking to farmers and people who are environmentalists who really care about the loss of agricultural land and habitat land. And I'm hearing, you know, there is the argument that the housing might not be affordable, but there's also this idea. I mean, right now, the farmland that California Forever will sort of like build over is right now being used for dryland farming. So that means that it's not relying on any sort of irrigation. It's just relying on land rainwater. It's a very sustainable way of growing crops. And I've spoken to so many people who are sort of like, that land is best used for that purpose. It's sequestering carbon. It's, you know, preserving a tradition that's been in the county for generations, for centuries. And, you know, a city being built over that is the antithesis of that tradition. Now, on the flip side, California Forever has said that they are going to maintain a lot of that agricultural land, and they're going to, you know, maintain that habitat in like the Jepson Prairie and Vernal Pools. But it's, again, like the details are not quite clear as to how that will all work out.
Well, let's hear from some of the voices of those who oppose the plan. We have longtime resident Matt Steinberger and Sarah Sorokin, a member of Solano Together.
They're trying to backdoor it. They claim they're going to make jobs and housing that's affordable. People can't afford the houses that are here now. And the houses they're going to build are going to be more costly than the ones that are here.
One of the state mandates is that we provide 24/7 mobile crisis coverage for the whole county, and having, for example, to cover this new unincorporated community will stretch us even thinner.
Yeah, I should note at the end, so Sarah Sorokin was that last voice that you heard. She's a mental health care worker, specifically working in behavioral health care. And she worries that California Forever's new town, because it'll be in unincorporated Solano County, will kind of put a strain on already stretched county health care resources.
Well, there's health care resources, there's law enforcement resources. When large projects like this come up, I think folks also want to know about water resources. You know, typically or many years we're in a drought in California. Where would this project get its water from?
Yeah, that was I had looked into that last week, and we published a story about that this week. It's really interesting. So California Forever has sort of like a multifaceted approach to that. They are seeking water from, I guess you could call it like four sources. So one is that the company already owns 60,000 acres of land, or a little bit more than that. And with that land, they own surface water rights and groundwater rights. And so they plan to use those two rights to kind of make up a portion, albeit a small portion, but about a quarter, basically, of their water supply. They're also planning to import about a third of their water from like surface water sources upstream of the Sacramento River. Now, they say that they're in, you know, late stage negotiations about this, about these acquisitions, and that these acquisitions will be made final and will be made public, you know, when the environmental report, impact report is released next year. But that's also another question mark. Like, where is that water coming from exactly? You know, why don't we know more information about that? And then finally, the biggest portion of their water, about like 40%, comes from recycled water. So this is not unlike other cities in California that are also dealing with water shortages and droughts, that increasingly are relying on recycled water and, you know, state-of-the-art water treatment facilities, wastewater treatment facilities. And basically what California Forever is saying is that, number one, because it's going to be a dense community, they won't need to have a lot of water use that it's like for ornamental use. So they won't need to reserve a lot of water for like maintaining lawns or like golf course space. But instead, you know, they'll be using that recycled water for the public parks that they're going to have, you know, for like cooling towers, for industrial sites, agricultural space, things like that. And there's still more details that we don't know about. I spoke to a number of water experts who say that, you know, while California Forever's water plan is clearly thought out, they did their homework, there's still a lot of details that need to be ironed out. So the company has said that they're going to release more information. So we'll stay tuned.
And I imagine the County Board of Supervisors who requested this additional study looking into the project's impact, that water would at least be one topic that that study looks at.
Definitely. I would say water is one of the biggest issues that people care about when it comes to California Forever, especially because some of the cities are already dealing with water shortages.
Aditi, you mentioned that the California Forever already owns, I think you said, 60,000 acres.
Yep, that's right.
Can you put that in perspective and also tell our audience, can you give us a little more detail on like where exactly in eastern Solano County this plan is proposed?
Yeah, I mean, 60,000 acres is a huge amount of land. California Forever is now the largest landowner in Solano County because of their land acquisitions. And it's basically in the southeastern part of the county. It's kind of close to Rio Vista. It's close to Sassoon City. And it's in what some people call the Montezuma Hills, which is these like rolling hills that have traditionally been used for agriculture. There's a lot of like big farms there that, you know, raise sheep. You know, there's a lot of grazing pasture out there. Some of that land has also been used to grow wheat and barley and different crops like that.
You know, in our last few minutes here, I want to talk about sort of what the next steps are. And I'm wondering if you can fill us in on sort of the role of the County Board of Supervisors. What authority do they have or oversight of this project will they have, or decision making to either say yes or no to this? So I guess the question is, what happens next?
Yeah, I think so. Right now, what we're looking at is, you know, the Board of Supervisors requested this study. It's going to be, you know, published and out into the public at the end of July. And then, you know, that study will look into the fiscal impacts, how much it will cost the county and or the taxpayer, different impacts it could have on the land. After that, though, the Board of Supervisors has two choices, really. One, to adopt the ordinance outright, which many supervisors have said they're not in favor of, or to put it before the voters who really have the final say in this matter.
Right. So really, we're going to look towards November to see what happens with this, whether it truly does move forward.
Yeah, November is where we'll get an answer as to what happens. I will also say California Forever still owns that land. So even if they lose, there's still more news to come out about what will happen, even if they lose.
Well, it's a fascinating topic. We're going to continue to follow your reporting. Aditi, thanks so much for sharing that with us here on Insight.
Thanks so much for having me.
Aditi Bundalamudi is a housing reporter at KQED. We've been unpacking a proposal by the company California Forever, which promises to build a new city in Solano County. The proposal has qualified for the November ballot, but will first undergo further study by Solano County supervisors. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.